And so, like, I'll try to put something together. And then when she starts to worship, we never talk about what the songs are going to be played. I don't say, hey, I'm going to preach on this, and you're going to sing this. It's just random. And I always know that I always take it as a God's confirmation when the songs align with what I've got to speak on. And so, I've been in this church for 14 years. This first strip of lights right here, this first strip of lights right here was a wall, and this to that wall was our church. And as we grew, we took over, and we took over, and we took over till we had the building. And so I've been here for a long time. And so let me give you a little bit about who I am. We're the youth pastors. My wife and I also have a ministry called Rags to Righteousness. We do a lot of community outreaches. I do Christian hip-hop music, so I rap. And we go all over the place. I've gone to a teen challenge men's home. We go to parks all over. I've been to Utah like 5 times this year. I've been to Idaho, where we ministered in Idaho. I've been all over the place. And so we share the gospel. We love it. One of the things we do as part of our ministry is there's some people in this body that bless us quite frequently. And we take that money and we buy Bibles. Actually, I'm sorry. I don't take the money at all. The church buys the Bibles for me. And it's awesome because we take these Bibles everywhere we go. And we pass these comic book Bibles everywhere we go. So it's just a desire in our hearts to share the gospel. And so this isn't my first time sitting in front of people preaching. But I was so nervous this weekend. Like, my brain just would not work. I tried so hard to come up with a message, and my brain wouldn't do it. And I think it's because there's a lot of new people here, but there's still a lot of people, and there's some people I wish were here. The Dillingers, you know, he was a big supporter of me. Jesse Ann was one of the biggest supporters I had on my back. Pastor Lee did a great job in building this church. He set such a great foundation for us. Pastor Chad and Gina they've done an amazing job leading us. It takes a village, you know. I came into this room 14 years ago, broken, lost, addicted, strung out of my mind. And I sat in the front 3 rows, and Pastor Lee started preaching. And when he did, it was like the room had went dark, and everything he said, it was just me and him. And he penetrated my heart. And I had this vision of myself being this tough gangster, and I'm sitting here crying my eyes out, just bawling out of control. You know, my life had came to a point where I was either going to lose everything or I was going to do something. You know? And I'm thinking, like, what am I going to preach on? What am I going to preach on? And I said, you know what? I'm just going to share a little bit about my testimony because a lot of you guys don't know who I am. But I'm, like, losing my mind wondering if that's what I'm supposed to do. And this first song that Gina sung today said, our God will finish what he started. Our God will finish what he started. It said, this is my testimony from death to life. I came in here dead, and I was given life, because grace rewrote my story. I'll testify. I want to tell you, I believe that grace requires transformation. It's what I believe. And what I mean by that is, yes, God died on the cross for all of our sins. He paid the price, right? I don't deserve it. I've done some horrible things. I don't deserve any of it. But God took it all on the cross for me so that I can come to him. And so as I begin to build a relationship, when I get into his word and begin to understand who I am, that grace that picked me up every time I made a bad mistake, that grace that picked me up every time I fell backwards, that grace that wrapped me in the most comfortable arms that I've ever been wrapped in before and told me he loved me when I felt like I was a failure, made me feel like it was going to be okay. Made me feel like everything was all right. So to me, this is crazy that 14 years ago, I came in here just completely broken. For Shamini, this is a prophecy fulfilled. When she was a little girl, she was prophesied over her that she would marry a pastor. Now, I'm not going to get completely into my testimony because I don't want to glorify an old life. I do want to say this is when I met Shamini, I was fresh out of spending 3.5 years facing the death penalty in jail. I was locked up for 2 murders in the first degree, 2 attempted murders, gang enhancements, and wrongful use of firearm. I faced the death penalty for 3.5 years. You would think that that would be enough to scare somebody, right? When she found me, I was in Greenfield, California, fresh out, gangbanging and selling drugs. I got right out and went right back to it. That's how stupid I was. So when she saw me, she's like, there's no way this guy could ever. This guy, I never knew God. I didn't grow up in that kind of a household. I didn't grow up where God was a topic of discussion in my home. She did. To her, religion was all about law and hypocrisy. It was like a costume that was put on to go to church, and then when you got home, it was the opposite of everything that just happened, right? And I see a lot of heads nodding, so you guys know what we're talking about here. She was ruled, I guess, by a finger. Praise God, I never experienced that. I'm so grateful for what I have here in this body. I never experienced that. So she didn't want it. She ran from it with everything that she could, and she found me, and there's like, there's no way this guy's going to ever, nope, we're good, you know? And we were crazy. We were super crazy, but God. And so what I want to talk about today is how God qualifies the unqualified. You know, God has a purpose for all of us, even these two. You know, they've been here for 13 years, and I'm not going to share your testimony, but if you only knew what this lawyer has been through and what Ken has been through, you would be shocked. If you've known Chad and Gina's full story, if you've known Shamini's full story, your mind would be blown. You, if you would have seen us years ago, you would not be believe that we're a part of running this church. But God qualifies the unqualified. At the time, I had no idea about anything in the Bible. I came here. I met Carol and Daryl. Carol didn't know this, but Shamini left me after getting saved. We came here. Carol didn't know. She left me. She took the kids and she was getting ready to go back to California. But she stopped by the church. And Carol told her, go back home. Not realizing that when she left, she's like, man, he's probably going to beat her up. He's probably going to beat her up. And when she got home, I'm like, babe, I'm so sorry. I'm begging for forgiveness. Like, you know, please, I want this. You know, there was a desire that sparked inside of me that I didn't know where it was going to take me, but I could never imagine that it took me to where it is today. So in the last 13 years, Carol and Daryl ran Restore, which was kind of like a Celebrate Recovery group where we got together and we learned the word together and we learned something that was awesome because I've been to NAAA, I'm sure a lot of you guys have, right? And they're like, you have to stand up and say, hi, I'm Richie, I'm an alcoholic, or hi, I'm Richie, I'm an addict. And they're like, no, you don't say that. I'm like, well, what do you mean you don't say that? You say, look, 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says that if you believe in him, you become a new creature, that all things have gone and all things have become new, right? So if I'm born again, then I'm not an addict. I am the righteousness of Christ. I am a child of God. So I'm like, okay, wow, this is different, right? Well, this is weird. Okay. So it's like, okay, I'm not an addict. You know, if you start to say something enough, you start to believe it, you start to walk in it, you start to reflect it. Look, I don't do nothing anymore. I don't drink. I don't smoke cigarettes. I don't chew tobacco. I don't smoke weed. I don't do anything. is because God took it all from me. And every one of those things were a big deal for me. And I'm telling you, it didn't happen overnight. It took years and years of like, okay, I'm going to give up meth. I'm going to give up cocaine. I'm going to go back to cocaine. I'm gonna keep smoking weed. I'm going to go back to weed. I'm going to quit. You know, I was drinking and smoking. Smoking was the last thing I gave up, tobacco. And real quick, I'm going down a rabbit trail, but that's okay. The reason why I gave up smoking was because I said the same thing that everybody says, one more pack. This is my last pack. And I took a drag, and I was telling somebody, you know, I'm only doing it because it helps me relax. Like, when I'm stressed out, I smoke. And I felt like God was telling me, you should be relying on me, not this cigarette. And it really convicted me. So I'm grateful to stand here and tell you that I've been able to give away all these things. And part of it was because I strongly feel that if you're going to be in ministry and you're going to be ministering to somebody and you're going to be shepherding, as Pastor Chad was saying, you need to live the life. You need to be a good example, right? So as I was thinking about how God qualifies the unqualified, I was thinking of a few characters, and I'm just going to reference the scriptures. I'm not going to have them thrown up. But in Acts 9, you'll see the story of Saul. We're all familiar with Saul, right? He persecuted Christians and then later became one of the most influential people, the apostles spreading the gospel. His story showed me that transformation was possible, right? Because one of the biggest problems I had in here is, look, I served time. I didn't pull the trigger, but I was involved with the murder. It was part my responsibility that he died. And I had to stand in front of a courtroom and look a mom in the eye and apologize that her son would never come home and it was my fault. I had to look him in the eye and apologize to this thing. And so as I got here, forgiveness was a big problem for me. How could I be forgiven for things that I've done? I was a horrible person. But if this guy who can kill Christians can turn around and be as influential as he is, then maybe there is a hope for me, right? Maybe there's a hope for all of us. So as I began to follow Christ, I started to stand on scriptures and apply them to my life, such as 2 Corinthians 5:17. That was the biggest thing for me. That was something that I repeated to myself every day. We based our ministry off of it, Rags to Righteousness. We base everything off of that because it's a big thing. It's a big, to me, in my opinion, it's a solid part of building your foundation in Christ, understanding who you are and whose you are. So to me, the biggest thing was understanding that I am not that anymore. My past life doesn't identify me. My biggest problem being in this church was I don't fit in. I don't belong here. Why? I always ask God, what are you doing? Why did you bring me here? This church was very cowboy influenced. And I thought to myself, these people could never understand my life or what I've gone through. That was what came out of my mouth. These people could never understand me. And as I sat down in Carolyn Darrell's group and I listened, she's not in here and I'm not going to say her name. As I listened to people around that table talk, the story was different. The road was different. The paths traveled were different. But the pain, the loss, the loneliness, the hurt was the same. And so I began to think, well, maybe I'm in here to break this idea that Christianity only looks one way. Because, yeah, I got the tattoos and the piercings and the this and the that, and I look like a drug dealer when I'm out when I'm out doing worship and stuff, when I'm out doing outreaches and stuff like that. Because I partially do it because I want people to stop looking at the outside. You know, I went to one other church before I came here, and people literally came up to me, looked me up and down, and walked away. Nobody said hi. Nobody introduced themselves. Nothing. And I said, man, if that's church, if that's religion, I don't want it. You never know how powerful it is in the morning when when the pastor gives us that much time to say hello. You know, when my first time I came here, people grabbed me. This lady, Sally, she's no longer with us anymore. She grabbed me by my hand, and she dragged me around this room. And people started hugging me and shaking my hand and showing me love. And I never experienced a love like this before. It was a love that sticks you deep. It was something that was foreign to me. And to be honest, it still is. We have an atmosphere in this church that most churches don't have these days. And you know, when it's called family church, it really is a family. There's people in here that have stuck with me through backslides, that have called me when I've fallen, that have been there for me, that have prayed for me, that have walked with us through so much, have showed up and dropped firewood in my front yard when I needed wood to keep my house warm. They showed up with boxes of food for us when we were sick, and so much more. I'm really grateful for this church. In Jonah 1 through 3, we all are familiar with Jonah, right? He was called to preach to the city of Nineveh, right? He disobeyed and ran, got swallowed up by a fish, right? There are so many times people in this body have told me, you're called to do something here. And I said, no, I'm not. And I would get sucked into the belly of this world, of the distraction, of the lie. And I heard the same thing going through my head then that I heard this morning. You're not worthy. You don't deserve this. You don't belong up there. And I remember a story Lee had talked about one time when he was out in another country. He had said he was getting ready to preach and he didn't put a tie on. And the enemy was telling him the same thing. And so I just stopped and I was like, oh, I know what's happening here. Shut up. You shut your filthy mouth. Because you're right, I don't deserve this, but God qualifies the unqualified, right? And so I had no idea. I was stressing out. I didn't know what I was going to talk about. And all these characters started coming up to me. You know? He was spit up by the fish when he repented. There's a time where I realized that I needed to surrender. Surrender is a hard word. Surrender is a hard word, especially from the culture I grew up in. Laying down is what we called it, you know? Laying down or bowing out or giving up or whatever. It's not words that we knew. I always went hard. The idea of surrender, fully letting go. Giving God everything and saying, God, I can't. I can't. I can't do this no more. When I was able to fully do that, walls began to break. I've sat here for 13 years and watched couples that are still together hold hands and pray and love each other. And I've always wanted that in my marriage. And my wife and I have always been really strong. Like, we've been, when we're always here, we're always this, we're always that, we're very dedicated. But we're always in a million different directions, right? I'm a part of a ministry called Kingdom Music. I've been there for 7 years now. I've been a leader in the discipleship programs and so on. I still have a place with them. And I remember my wife getting upset with me sometimes. She's like, man, you can always sit on these Zoom meetings and talk to people all around the country, but you can never sit down and pray with me. And I got mad about that. But I want to encourage you guys real quick, and I'm going down another rabbit trail, but it's okay. I want to encourage you real quick. Take the time to grab your wife's hand and pray. Set aside differences. Set aside everything and pray with your wife. In the last 2 years, mine and my wife's relationship with God has developed so much because we decided that we're going to grab each other's hand and pray. We're going to talk to each other and pray. You know, I'm not talking to my wife anymore. I'm talking with my wife and with God. We all know that in a relationship, God's got to be there, right? Pastor said that your first ministry is your wife. Right? That's my first ministry. If I can't be who I am here at home, then I'm a fake. And so to me, that means a lot. I remember Lee used to tell us that we would smell different. There was a different aroma about us. Okay. The first time he said that, I was sitting in the first three rows. And very loudly I said, "You think you can smell the weed on me?" Because after he said that, he said, "If anybody in this room smelled like alcohol or weed, they belong here more than any of you. Don't you dare look at them funny." And so, but Shamini wanted me to say that because I did. I was real loud. "You think he smells me?" He said, "You smell different." And the truth is, you do. He shared a story about a guy that he knew that got saved, and then he had a bad week or whatever and decided to fall back and went to a club, and the DJ had seen him from the whole crowd of people and called him in and said, "Hey," called him up to the DJ stand. He's got a beer in his hand. He's like, "What are you doing here? You don't belong here." You know, the same thing happened to me. I tried to go back to my old lifestyle, tried to go back to my old friends. I didn't belong there anymore. Something different had taken a hold of me. You know, one of the biggest things that we had to do was let go of everybody we knew in our past in order to get right with God. And now we're able to go back to those old relationships and start to share the gospel with them. And it's such a blessing. It's such a blessing to be able to do that. I began to watch transformation take place. You know, my kids, I'm going to put you on blast real quick. My 17-year-old and my 14-year-old son will still get in bed and cuddle with me. They will still lay in bed with me and hug me. They are not afraid to be close with their dad in public. They're not afraid of what it looks like. I'm very proud of my kids. I will say that the gangster in me sometimes wants to take their lunch money. But I'm excited because you know what? They didn't live the way I lived. You know? I witnessed my first murder at 5 years old. My brother's friend shot two people in my front yard. That haunted me for a long time. That set the pathway for my whole life. Something inside of me broke that day. But God qualifies the unqualified, and He heals the broken. I just had a class that was, the teacher was Andrew Womack, and it's called How to Deal with People. And if you guys knew my experience, you guys would understand why I thought that was funny, but I'm not going to get into that. It's how to deal with people. And one of the things Andrew spoke about was how we need to understand how much influence the way we act has, the way we react to people. I'm getting pretty good at this, actually. I can smile when people are talking behind me, and it's great. Because there was a lot of times where I would just want to give up. But over the last 2 years, God showed me how to pray for those people and to show compassion. We never know what the person next to us is going through. And like Chad said earlier, we all make mistakes, right? We all make mistakes. I'm not perfect. I'm far from it. There's a lot of things I'm still working on. But we never know what the person next to us is going through. I remember as Pam was sharing the morning announcements, she said a couple times in a row that she was that she'd been going through something. She'd been going through some things, and man, it just hit me to hear her say that. You know, Because a lot of us don't realize how much smiles we see, but there's stuff behind the smiles, you know? And I feel like it's very important to make sure that we pray over our church, like Chad was saying, not just the leaders, not just the people helping, but over the entire body. Will you open I'll make room for you, was the lyrics in the last song. I'll make room for you to do whatever you want, to surrender. As I close this, I just want to tell you guys, look, if there's something that you guys are going through right now, if there's an area in your life that needs to be refined, if there's an area in your life that needs to be touched, I want to encourage you to surrender it to God. Because if we continue to try to work it in our own hands, we're going to fail every time. That's one of the biggest things I learned, was stop trying to do everything on your own, right? And so the last year or so, I've been praying every prayer, just asking God, if there's areas in my walk that needs to be refined, reveal them to me. Show them to me. Show me areas that I need to work on to be a better husband, to be a better father, to be a better leader to the youth. I've been working with the youth since 2016, and I love it. I love it. But I've been asking God, refine all these areas, right? Take me through the fire. Burn away all the impurities. Strengthen me in areas where I'm weak. If there's an area at home where I need to learn to shut my mouth and listen, show me what that area is. If there's an area where I need to humble myself and admit that I'm wrong in something, show me what that is. Help me set aside pride. Help me set aside pride. Help me to be filled with compassion for somebody I feel is backbiting me. Help me feel compassion for somebody that's hurting. Help me, show me the ones that are hurting. Lead them to me. Guide me to them. And God continues to work and continues to break down walls and continues to destroy areas that I thought that I had worked on, areas that I thought that I was done with, areas where I thought I had already given up forgiveness. We don't realize that we still hold on to things. We don't realize that we're still acting out in areas that we don't even realize we're holding on to anymore. And so as I began to ask God to reveal things to me, things came up. I was still angry with people I didn't realize I was angry with. I still held resentments for areas of my life. I still held on to things that were destroying me, and I didn't even realize it, because the devil is good at distracting you from things. He's good at distracting you and pulling your eyes away from areas that you need to get fixed. Right? So as I begin to ask God to reveal these things to me, He did. And it broke me. It destroyed me, because I thought I was done with that. I thought I dealt with it. Chad brings up my dad. My dad wasn't a great guy. He wasn't nice. He was angry. But at the end, he was great grandfather. My mom and I hardly know each other, but we're fixing that. And she's been a great grandma. She's got an amazing husband who I enjoy being around. Guys, I don't have family. I don't. Aunties and uncles and stuff like that, where you do holidays and all that, I don't know that. I genuinely don't know that. Until recently. As Chad and Gina and Carol and Daryl have took us in, and my brother and my sister have become a part of our lives, we raised each other's kids, we do holidays together, right? I'm telling you, God heals and redeems and rewards. And I'm so excited for today because, you know, Chad, when I said I'm grateful for his leadership, I'm not grateful because he gives me my way. I'm going to tell you guys straight up, Chad doesn't give me my way. It might seem like it to some, but he doesn't. He makes me fight for it. He stretches me. He does. He does stretch me. And I appreciate the heck out of it. I appreciate it. If you guys don't have somebody in your life that's stretching you, find somebody, link up with somebody, because we all need to be encouraged, but guess what? We all need to be told no sometimes too. And you know what? I respect a no. Or a not now. Anyways, I want to encourage you guys, if there's areas in your life that need to be refined, ask God to reveal them to you. If there's areas in your life where you're feeling that you need to deal with some things, ask him to pull them up. Ask him to dig them out. Ask him to dig them out. If there's somebody you need to call right now after this, let your pride go. Call that person. Call that person. I'll just end right now. Father God, Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for everything that you've done in my life. God, I thank you for the people that you surrounded me with. I thank you, God, that you continue to refine me in areas of my life. Lord, I pray for each and every one in this room, Lord. I know sometimes I can be everywhere, God, but I just pray that the message fell on open ears and softened hearts, God. Continue to strengthen each and every one of us, God. Continue to push us to seek you, to surrender to you, to seek you in all areas. Lord, we speak to the enemy right now. We tell him he's got to go. Distractions not welcome. I know I felt that this morning, but I know there's some people in here right now that are being distracted. Being distracted from a calling that was spoke over them. I really feel that right now. There's somebody in here who's got a calling on them. And they're kept being reminded. They keep being reminded, but they keep running. If that's in you in here today, I just want to encourage you. Find your quiet place. Fall to your knees and surrender. Stop fighting. The more you fight, the more the road gets bumpy. I was telling my youth kids the other day, I says, look, when I first came here, my life was like this. And I said, guess what? Now my life is like this. I just know how to deal with it now. It's still a rocky road. But I know who to look to now.
Yes, amen.
Anyways, amen.
Amen. Let's stand up. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We honor you. Amen. Amen. Wasn't that awesome? I received that word. But I want to have a couple things real quick. If I could, Rich and Chamonix, if you could go lay hands on Jim Runner. Mike, I need you to lay hands on Jim Runner, our dear brother, the Runners. He's dealing with a heart issue right now. I love this guy. So Father, would you stretch your hand, if you believe in healing, that God still does the miraculous, Father, in the name of Jesus right now, Lord, you know the situation, heart valves, plug valves, Lord, you know that, Lord. So right now, Lord, we speak healing and health and wholeness right now to Jim's heart in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that you took sickness and disease up on by the stripes that were on your back. Lord, your word says that you took sickness on yourself as you were hung on the cross. So we curse sickness right now in Jesus' name, and we declare wholeness and healing to Jim Runner right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for your healing power. We thank you for your blessing upon Jim and, right now, Father, your hand of protection upon him. And Cindy, Father, we bless the runners right now. Jim and Cindy Runner, Father, we bless them in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for your hand being upon them. Father, we thank you for blessing them right now in Jesus' name. The Lord still loves you. His hand is still upon you, Jim and Sandy. You are his children. There's nothing that's happened that you're in this situation. You still belong to him. Amen. You are still part of the family of God. And so we rebuke every lying voice that's been coming against the runners, against Cindy, right now in Jesus' name. Every lying voice, we command you to shut your mouth right now in Jesus' name. And Father, we speak faith to arise. Father, we thank you for rekindling in areas of her life. Lord, we thank you for blessing her. We thank you for your hand upon her. Father God, we thank you for faith taking the place of fear right now in Jesus' name, Father God. We thank you for your goodness in their life, Father God. We thank you for your goodness in their lives. So we bless them. We thank you for our brothers and sister right now, Jim and Cindy Runner. We speak blessing. We speak life. We speak wholeness. We bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. Last thing I want to say is make sure to remember God is with you for the very best day of the week tomorrow, Monday. That you wake up with Labor Day, especially.
Labor Day, yeah.
Some of you might be laboring tomorrow. But that you would wake up tomorrow with just a word in your, a song on your heart. How much he loves you and cares for you. Amen. If you need prayer this morning, would you come up and receive prayer? We'd love to pray with you. I love that preaching that comes from the heart. How about you?
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for that this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Have a blessed afternoon.